In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Warren Watkins. Today we have a few things that are going on, and in this scripture passage, it's a difficult one for us to put ourselves in. There's a lot of things that our Lord is trying to bring about. You know where the word Beelzebul means, where it comes from? You probably heard the derogatory form of it, to make fun of Beelzebul, calling him Beelzebub. Beelzebub. You've heard of that before, right? Sometimes the saints will refer to him as old hairy legs. It's talking about Satan there. So Beelzebul comes from Baal, which is one of the Hebrew, the gods of those pagan peoples who lived around the Hebrews, the Baal, but then who demanded human sacrifice, by the way, particularly sacrifice of little children. And then there was Zebul, which means from on high, on high. So he was the evil god who demands the lives of others in sacrifice to him, especially children, who is on high. That literally, it would translate in a sense to being Lord of the Flies, to be called Beelzebub. Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies, a derogatory thing that was there. You even heard this reference by a very unchristian man who was commenting on the vice presidential debates, I was told, in relation to one of the candidates. Not a good man. Not a good man who said that. But here, Beelzebub, what he's talking about here is that Beelzebub, his whole purpose, in another place in Scripture, he's called Satan. And Satan is what? Satan is the accuser, the one who is the adversary, the one who finds little things in there, the accuser of the brethren, who finds little things wrong with somebody else and picks at them and exposes them. That's why we've spoken many times, whenever you or I engage in any form of gossip, any sort of calumny, meaning detraction, is when we speak about somebody and it speaks bad about them. That's detraction. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's wrong. And there's calumny, which is when we speak falsely about somebody, confounding that detraction and adding to it something that is false and lying. Oftentimes, within our political climate, all these things are present, are they not? It is one thing to talk about what one rightly stands for and use one's words to say, hey, this is what they really say and believe. It's an entirely different thing to invent something or to twist it in such a way to where it means the exact opposite or something that is nowhere near what it is. That is always and always wrong. When you and I speak about the bad things that are going on in somebody else's life, we have to have a really, really good reason why we speak about those things or what. Or we share not in the ministry of Christ, but we share in the ministry of Beelzebub, the one who is the Lord of the Flies, the one who is the accuser of the brethren, who destroys people. And so we got to watch our words to make sure that we are ones who speak the truth, but always with love and reaching toward that which is going to lead to a bettering of God's people and our brothers and sisters. So to ask our Lord to guard our tongues. When we talk about the difficulties that are going on in our communities, did you know that we just celebrated the Feast of the Holy Guardian Angels, right? We talked about how each one of you has a guardian angel that's been assigned to you from before time began. Since it was just God and his angels, that one angel, which is your guardian angel, it's been assigned to you, waiting for your life to begin so that he could begin his ministry in leading you to heaven. That's a pretty incredible thing. St. Padre Pio points that out, but we forget about the other things that Padre Pio talks about. He used to talk about how if you could just see how many angels were really present every time you were there at Mass, even when there's so few people like there are here today, you wouldn't be discouraged in the least bit, because you'd see the whole of the church filled with angelic beings there adoring God. That's going on right now, by the way. Kind of a cool thing to think about, how awesome our God is. Well, we usually don't think about the other thing, which Padre Pio also mentioned, which is the reverse, where he says there are more demons, there are more evil spirits at work, actively, he's talking about, active evil spirits within the whole world than there are human beings that have ever existed from Adam till now, or will exist from now until human beings are no more. That's something to think about as well. So evil spirits are real. And what do we do when we encounter these creatures that are there? Yes, there are things that we can do. There's various ways in which they work. But the most important thing to do is to make sure that you and I are living in a state of grace so that we give no foothold for the evil one to latch onto our lives and don't engage in things that invite them into our lives, into our families, whether it's through things we watch on TV or through the internet, acts which we engage, which would be gravely sinful, or people which we invite who engage in those very same activities into our home, welcoming them and whatever spiritual residue is clinging to them as they walk into our place. So an important thing to do is to use holy water, often upon ourselves, which that bucket right there is always full of holy water. And when it's not, one of these two young ladies yells at me and it's very soon after that refilled and totally blessed and sanctified. Use it up. Use it up in there. In fact, you'll see a little bit of the residue there at the bottom, which is actually not something that's gross or dirty. That's a little residue of the oil from the Easter water that's there. So it's really good stuff. Easter water is very powerful. So you want to use that. And that's why I haven't filtered that out just yet. Another thing that you can do is to make sure that you're constantly in prayer for those who are there. There are many people within our community here and throughout the time of my priesthood who have said, you know, Father, there's weird stuff going on. I need help. What's the first thing that you do when you encounter that? Like I've talked about before, call the priest. Call the priest where he can deal with it. And don't stand the priest up after you call him up. And that's happened to me a number of times. So after it, follow up and make sure that I'm still able to go and don't just brush me off and then I never get to go there and to be able to deal with what's going on there. He'll go and he'll bless that place and sanctify it in such a way. But he's not going to want to sanctify something that has any of these things that attract the evil spirits in there. So we got to clear all that stuff out from the beginning. Why? It says it right here. It's talking about a human person's soul, what happens when a demon has been cast out, but also from a place. Because what happens if I, or a priest, or an exorcist, goes to a place there and casts the demon out of the place where he was before it, what? It goes off into the arid regions. It goes off wondering about seeing where it can do evil next. And when it finds that there's nowhere else for it to go, it has the mission that was assigned here, it comes back to where it was. And what does it find? Everything's clean. It's at peace. Kind of like it should be if his activity was not there before. But guess what? How did he get there in the first place? How was he able to see that it was clean again? Huh? Think about that. Here's the reason why. The reason why he was able to see that it was clean is because the person and the place that was clean and set aright by God's minister did nothing to prevent, to put up a wall so the evil one could come back. Why? Because they didn't change their lives. Because they didn't re-engage in the work of the sacraments. Because they abandoned the rosary. Because they stopped building up those spiritual edifices that they should have. So there wasn't any sort of blocking to keep the evil one from getting back in. And so he goes in and sees, hey, it's all clean now. I've got an idea. I know somebody who can do a worse job than I was able to. And so he gathers all his demonic friends, and they go and make that person's life more miserable than it was before they encountered God. Which is why every good priest, every good exorcist, every good man of God who works with these things will urge those who are there, hey, you had this thing going on, now it's time to build things up. Don't live like you were before, or the evil will come back, and it will be worse than it was before. Pray the rosary again. Get into the practice of your faith. Make sure you're going to confession. All these things which build up that edifice so the evil spirit can't even see that it's been cleaned within your soul before. That way, your former state will not be like it speaks about here in the gospel. Fabian mentioned something before Mass, so I have to share this with you as well. Today is the feast day of St. John Henry Cardinal Newman, and particularly for those who you are struggling, wondering with your, about your worth, wondering about how it is that things are going in your life and difficulties that you're experiencing. It's hard for all of us. Some of us are feeling it more in this moment than before. I want to share with you something from his writings. In fact, this is a place where I go back to often when I feel so aggrieved and attacked. Let the words of this saint, St. John Henry Cardinal Newman, here on his feast day, give you a little semblance of what God's role for you in life is. So he speaks. O God, I was all complete and all blessed in you yourself, but it was your will to create a world for your glory. You are almighty, and by your might you have done all things by yourself, and it was been done to bring about your purposes in beings which you have created. Lord, we are all created for your glory. We are created to do your will. I am created to do something or to be something for which nobody else is created. I have a place in God's counsels, in God's word, which no one else has. Whether I be rich or poor, despised or esteemed by man, God knows me and he calls me by name. God has created me to do him some definite act of service. He has committed to me some work which he has not committed to another person. I have my mission. I may never know it in this life, but I shall be told about it in the next life. Somehow, I am necessary for his present purposes, as necessary in my place is, as an archangel is in his. If indeed I fall or fail, he can raise up another, as he could have made out of the stones children of Abraham. Yet I have my part in this his great work. I am a link in a chain, a bond of connection between persons. He has not created me for no purpose. I shall do good. I shall do his work. I shall be an angel, a messenger of peace, a preacher of truth in my own place, while not intending it, if I do but keep his commandments and serve his calling. Therefore, I will trust in him. Whatever, whenever I am, I can never be thrown away. If I am in sickness, my sickness will serve him. If I am in perplexity, my perplexity will serve him. If I am in sorrow, my sorrow may serve him. My sickness or perplexity or sorrow may be necessary causes of some great end which is quite beyond me. He does nothing in vain. He may prolong my life or he may shorten it. He knows what he's about. He may take away my friends. But he knows what he's about. He may throw me among strangers. He may make me feel as though I am desolate. He may make my spirit sink and hide the future from me. Still, he knows what he is about. Whatever God is doing in your life or in my life, whatever you and I are permitted to experience, God indeed knows what he's about. Somehow it serves his purpose. You can't be thrown away. Your connection between persons fit by God for some definite good, whether you know it in this life or not, you will hear about it and its completion in the next. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.